There's a lot of truth in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. And one truth really stands out. Look at the last part of verse 13. Paul says, "But through love, serve one another." I want you to see that there's a real connection between serving one another and love. Now hold your place here in Galatians chapter 5 and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Apostle Paul writes in this passage, and he's talking about love. It's a familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and look with me at verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I should remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." We look at these words and frankly, folks, they jar us and they shake us. Paul says here that you can give everything away that you have. He says you can even lay down your life and yet not be acting in love. You can sacrifice your love for another and still be lost for eternity. Giving yourself can profit you nothing. And therefore, folks, that means that everything that we do has to be evaluated by the Word of God. This means that our labor for one another and our efforts for marriage and our defense of family and our work for the gospel and our service for the sanctification of God's people in this local church and our labor in the community in which we live, in all things that we may call love, must be critiqued by the Word of God. Paul says, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Nothing. To put it plainly, you can go to hell fighting against poverty and fighting against abortion and even laboring in a local church. Love can never be defined simply as deeds or efforts or works. Love always involves the condition of the human heart. If you give your life for whatever good work and have not love, you gain nothing. And brothers and sisters, that means that true Christianity is not primarily a system of good works, but it's primarily the power of Jesus Christ to change the human heart. And so in our passage today in Galatians chapter 5, Paul goes right to our hearts. And he makes the connection here between serving others and love. And so the question I ask is simply this: how does he do that? How does he make this connection? Let's look at this passage this morning. First of all, I want you to see that love is not optional. Now, last week in our study, we saw from Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that the heart which is acceptable to God is not one that depends on works, but one that so trusts in God's grace that the result is a life of love. Go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and let's be reminded of what Paul says. He says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And so we step back from that, and we can say then that it's not optional whether you love one another. No one can say, "I am saved by faith," regardless of whether I love people or not. Because when we look at that statement by the Apostle Paul, the only faith that saves is a faith working through love. Here's the way I would understand it. We are saved by faith. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the result of that saving faith is what? Love. See, the evidence of that genuine faith is love. So our text today picks up this theme of love in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and it presses home this command now in verse 13, and the command is this: through love, serve one another. Now someone might ask, well, why would Paul command us to love? If love is the inevitable result of faith, Galatians 5, 6, and love is also the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, so why does he have to give us a command to love? And I think the answer is, well, God is sovereign over his people, and God's Spirit does produce love. But folks, God uses his commands and his exhortations to his people to actually bring this about. And so his commands to love are part of that whole process in which God is moving us to love. Now what that means then is that there's nothing wrong with God's commands. You know, some people have a problem with God's commands. Now, I said some people have a problem with God's commands. Do you have a problem with God's commands? And yet some people have this problem with God's commands because they think that the commands of God or the laws of God are legalism. And frankly, that's not true, because legalism is when we try to earn God's favor by keeping his commands in our own strength and our own power. So God's commands are good, and they should be seen as a summons from God to have the obedience which faith produces. We thank God for his commands. Now look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, because I want to summarize it first of all, and then we'll dig into a little more detail. I think the logic is pretty simple. First of all, Paul restates the foundation of the Christian life. He says, "You brethren have been called to liberty," or "you've been called to freedom." And folks, what that means in the context of what we studied now for several weeks, it means that we're no longer in bondage to works. We are no longer enslaved to any system or ideology or religion of doing works to be right with God. So we are called to freedom. And the basis of freedom is God's grace. And we receive this freedom that comes from God's grace, we receive it through faith. That's what Paul's been saying now in this passage. Second, based on that divine call, Then Paul gives a twofold command in this passage. The negative part of that command is this: do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, don't be pulled back into a works mentality. Don't allow your freedom to feed your flesh or to focus on self. And then the positive statement is, through love, serve one another. In other words, let freedom move you through love to serve one another. And then the third part, to support this twofold command, he gives a positive and he gives a negative incentive to love. The positive is this, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the negative, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. Now, I think that the main point in this text is actually that phrase where he says, through love, serve one another. Because if you do this, he says, you fulfill the whole law. And if you don't, you destroy yourselves. Now, let's focus on this main point. Through love, serve one another. Now, before we look at verse 13, let me backtrack just for a moment, and let me say something about I said last week, because I got some feedback and I got some questions, and they were really good, but it means that I need to say something else. I want to make sure that we're clear on what I said. Remember last week I said, we don't serve God. We don't provide God's needs. And I even said, well, I'm pretty careful now about using this statement, I serve God, because I really want to think through that. Want to even understand what I'm saying when I say that. Because the truth of the matter is, folks, the Scripture has many statements about God's people serving God. We can find that throughout the Scriptures. And there's nothing wrong with that language. And my goal was not to discourage you from using that language, but my goal was to encourage you to think about it when you use that language. We don't serve God because He's needy. We don't serve God because God is lacking in something. We don't serve God because He needs us, but we serve God because we belong to Him. We serve God because He's worthy of our life and our service, and we serve God because we want God and God alone to be glorified in providing the strength and the resources for our service, and this is how we serve God. So that's last week. Now we're back to this week, Galatians 5. 13. So listen now to what happens when you put this command to, through love, serve one another. You put this command together with the first part of the verse. Look at the verse. For you were called to freedom, through love, serve one another. See, what I want you to see is that there's a connection to this call to freedom, this freedom that we experience, and then serving others with love. So we ask the question, so why is the call to freedom and the call to serve connected? Or why is love, which serves the needs of others, the way our Christian freedom can be expressed? Now, what I want you to see, when Paul makes this statement, right in the middle of that, he says this, only do not use liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, as I studied this again several months ago and just reviewed it recently, I smiled about it because it is so easy for Christians to pick out something out of context and they'll run with this statement from the Scripture, and yet they take it out of context, and what happens is they run in the wrong direction. And so when you look at the context of what Paul's talking about, and you look at the freedom that he's talking about here, then see, that helps us understand what he's saying. When you live according to the flesh, you are in slavery. When you live according to your own strength and your power and your works and your sufficiency, you are actually in slavery. See, folks, that's the bondage of works in our lives. And that's what Paul's been talking about in this passage and in this book. Now, let me explain why. We touched on this in a previous sermon, but let me again repeat this. Let me explain why it's slavery. So love, now he's drawing our attention to love. Love is motivated by the joy of sharing our fullness. Now let that run through your minds and then we'll understand it better in a moment. But the works of the flesh are motivated by the desire to fill our emptiness. And that emptiness is filled by our own efforts and our own power and our own strength. And so the reason we say that if you live according to the flesh, you're in slavery is because that emptiness is never filled by works or by our own efforts. Or as Paul says it, by the flesh. And those who live according to the flesh are always trying to fill their emptiness. They are enslaved to one desire after another in an effort to fill the emptiness which only Christ can fill. So when Paul says here in verse 13, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, he means don't surrender the freedom that you have in the all-satisfying Christ to return to the unsatisfying desires of self, because those desires of self will not fill you and will not complete you. But love is different. Love is motivated by the joy of sharing our fullness. See, when we place our faith in Christ, when we're justified by Christ, when Christ by His Spirit lives within us and He becomes our joy and He becomes our focus, there is a completeness to us and there is a feeling and a satisfaction that comes into our lives. So when we love, then we are not enslaved to use things or to use people to fill our emptiness. Love then, one writer said, love is the overflow of our fullness. And our fullness is Christ. And folks, when God frees us from guilt and fear and greed and self and fills us with His all-satisfying presence, then the only action left then is the joy of sharing His fullness with others. And that's what love is. See, that's love in action. But when we devote ourselves to things and surround ourselves with the things of this world, then we actually testify that God has not filled the emptiness of our hearts to overflowing. Because when God is our portion, we are truly free. And when we are truly free, we will serve one another in love, because freedom flows in love. A couple months ago, we had a baptismal service here at Faith Baptist Church, and I filled the baptistry on a Saturday. The baptismal service was on a Sunday. Carrie Rodriguez was cleaning the church on Saturday evening, and she called and she told me that there was water leaking in the basement. And I knew what it was. The drain lines from the baptistry, they were leaking. So I came to the church as soon as I could with some pipe wrenches to tighten those lines. And when I put my pipe wrench on that drain line and I turned it, just turned it a little, the whole line came loose and water gushed out of that full tank. Now some guys came a little bit later and I think, Pastor Jake, you said, I would really like to have seen your response when that happened. No. All I can say is when I turned it and it came loose, the water just gushed out of that tank, because that tank was full and it gushed out. In other words, the water was free to pour out of that tank. And brothers and sisters, when our tanks are full of God, then freedom has to gush out in love, just like that baptistry. And I can assure you this morning that when that water was gushing out of that baptistry, I was not thinking about using that as a sermon illustration. The flesh, though, is like a vacuum cleaner. It sucks and it sucks and it sucks, and when it feels full, the bag is replaced and it just keeps sucking, and it's never, ever satisfied. It's never, ever full. You see, that's the flesh. So the book of Galatians then was written, many reasons, but one reason that the book of Galatians was written, to show us how in freedom our tanks can gush out with love. So then we ask the question, well, what does this love look like? And Paul helps us. Look at verse 14. Our fullness of God flows in the freedom to love others. Verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the good news here, we look at this statement, is that love, which is the overflow of God's grace, that's what fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. And God actually does it for us because it's an overflow of His grace that He gives us. Now we look at that statement by the Apostle Paul, and it's a very familiar statement. Don't be confused by the words, love your neighbor as yourself. Because some people see this as a command to love yourself. And what happens is they begin to look at it and they think about it in the area of self-esteem. Love yourself. Build yourself up. Love yourself. Folks, that's not what Paul was saying here. That's not what Jesus said when he used these words. That's not what Moses meant when he used these words. So they don't command that people love themselves because they assume that people already love themselves. And it's actually not a love of self-esteem, but it's a love of self-interest. A love of self-interest. It's a strong interest that you have in your own health and your own safety and your own happiness. So love your neighbor as yourself is not a command to love yourself. It's a command to take the natural, already existing love of self and making it the measuring rod of your love for others. Now, how does that work? So think through this with me. So we feed the hungry as much as you want to feed yourself. Do you feed yourself? To love others, you feed them because you love yourself and you feed yourself. Help your friend find a place to live as much as you're glad that you have a place to live. Help the person who was broken down by the roadside as much as you are glad that you're not broken down by the roadside. Share Christ with your friend as much as you are glad that you know Christ. And someone share Christ with you. You see, folks, it means to use all the energy and all the effort and all the work and all the labor to do good things for others that you use in doing good things for yourself. And care about what happens to others as much as you care about what happens to yourself. That's what Paul's saying here. That's this truth that comes from Scripture. Now, can you imagine if we really think about this and we begin to apply this in our lives, can you imagine how this would change our lives? Can you imagine how this would change our church? See, not only would the law be fulfilled, that's what Paul says, but our lives would be filled with joy and the glory of God. And people would see it, and people would know it, and God would be glorified, and people would be converted. But if we don't, see, there's a negative part of this statement. Look what Paul says, verse 15. But if we don't, we see the alternative. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. See, a church that doesn't serve loving one another will destroy itself. And brothers and sisters, with that being said, I would say we should never take this for granted at Faith Baptist Church. We should just never lay this aside and say, well, this we do this, or this is how we exist. Well, it may be, but understand there's a part of us that will fight against this. There's a part of every person here who will push against what we're seeing right here in the Scriptures this morning. And so we need to abound in it. And then look at how Paul describes this lack of love. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You know, when I read those verses, it sounds like wild animals, doesn't it? There's biting, there's devouring. Actually, it sounds like the kids who stop by my office on Sunday mornings for candy. Biting and devouring. But actually, it's a picture of emptiness. It's a picture of starvation. Because, folks, when you're not filled with God, you're empty. And when you're empty and not satisfied, you will bite and devour and consume one another. And brothers and sisters, this is the reason for much trouble in local churches. People are filled with self instead of filled with God. But God has called us to the freedom of a fullness which overflows in love, not to the emptiness which bites and devours and is never satisfied. In Christ Jesus, God offers us forgiveness and help and guidance and hope now and for the future. And folks, it's free. It's all free. It's purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's received by faith alone. And that's where true love comes from. Love comes from a heart that is filled with the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So simply said, don't we need to look at ourselves? Not at the person beside you or behind you. We need to look at ourselves. Are we loving or are we biting? Are we filled with God's grace or are we empty and trying to fill ourselves with the desires of self? Paul says, through love, serve one another. Let's pray.